Okay, we're starting here on the top of Amud Bet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah said Nifritzu Alav. So the Gemara wants to understand what's the difference between Nifritzu Alav and Nifridu Alav. We already saw Rashi and Tosafot discussing this in the Mishnah, and their discussion is based on what the Gemara says here, which is Amar Abba Nifritzu is the Avid Kechufya. He made it like a broom. And that's where Rashi and Tosafot disagreed about what's a Chufya. Rashi says a broom is where all the leaves are peeled off the spine, and then you bound them back together in order to create the broom. And then Tosafot said that the chufia is not exactly like a chufia, but it's similar to a chufia, which is that all the leaves are split. They're open up, meaning that the double of each leaf is opened up, and that opening then is bound back together to hold them in tight. Nifridu, difrod ifrude. Ifridu is just simply that they fan out. And then we had the requirement of Rabbi Yehuda, which we'll see in a second, to bind it back together. Correct, when it opens up, and when it stays longer on the tree and it opens up, it spreads out. Bayubra Papa. Nechlaka hatiyomet. If the tiyomet splits, mahu, what is the din? Tiyomet comes from the word tiyom, which is a twin or double. So it means a double leaf. We're going to discuss what the Rishonim think about this. But this, nechlaka hatiyomet and himnik are generally the most problematic things that we find in Olav today. Those are the things that you need to avoid or make it pasul, possibly. Tashma, the Amar Rabbi Maton, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, nitla hatiyomet pasul. If the tiyomet's missing, then it's pasul. My lav hua din nechlaka. Maybe it's the same thing, but if it's missing, that if it's split, Rabbi says lo, nitla shiny. If it's not there, then it's a problem, da chaser le, because it's actually missing. The fact that it's missing is more problematic. Ikadamre, some say that it goes this way, which is Amar Rabbi Maton, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, nechlaka hatiyomet. Nasek mi shenitla atiyomet upasul. When the tiyomet is split, it's the equivalent of it not being there, and it is pasul, and that's the way that we paskin. What the tiyomet is, according to most of the Rishonim, the tiyomet is the center leaf. Now, what in the center leaf is a question, because you could have the center leaf or every leaf of the lulav is a double. So here, nechlaka tiyomet makes it sound like the Ritva says that the center leaf that comes up past the spine, the tallest leaf of the lulav, if that is split, then it is problematic. How far it needs to be split, that's also subject to machloket. Rashi and Tosafot also here speak about it being split, but the split, according to them, has to go down into the spine. It's not just the leaf, but it has to descend through that leaf into the spine before it is pasul. The Ritva says that it just has to be split down to the spine, but then he says, even if it's rove split, that it is problematic. And then he even mentions that you should be more careful because even if it's a rove split, it starts to open more and you're probably going to end up with a pasul lulav. Yeah, through the chag, as you use it, you realize that it's going to split more because that's the natural state or natural tendency for it to split. There are others that suggest that the double tiyomet over here is the two leaves that come up to the top. Two leaves that come up to the top. So you're actually talking about four leaves. So when we're talking about it split on the four leaves, we're talking about these two doubles that get to the top. If they're split open, then that's problematic. Now, that's a little more difficult to understand because generally in a lulav, there is a top leaf. But if you check from a lot of the lulavim, there's a second leaf that sometimes is a drop lower than it, and they're usually attached. And that's maybe what they're referring to is those two leaves. If they split, then that would be problematic in terms of tiyomet. Right, the two that get closest to the top, if they split apart, that would be a problem of the splitting of the tiyomet. There is one daya that makes it sound like nifridu alav, and that's why it's brought over here, which is, it means that all the leaves that are above the spine level have split, meaning that their double leaves have split, and that would be very similar to what nifridu alav is. And then obviously when you have over here at the end of the Gemara, you can't read nechlaka tiyomet, nase kemish nitla hatiyomet, but rather it's naseh, it's as if it was kemish nitla, as if it was taken out without the word tiyomet, because you're talking about multiple leaves now, so you can't be speaking about the single tiyomet.
Why is that so important?
Okay, so that's a good soul of this, according to the Rishonim, is hadar, that it lacks in hadar, that the lulav is no longer mehudar when it splits at the top. We saw that with the himnik before, where the lulav splits in two into like a stylus. That's not hadar. And so it's over here, the tiyomet, which is the highest point of the lulav, the beauty of the lulav is in that tiyomet, in that tallest of the leaves. If that leaf is split open, or the two top leaves are split open, then it loses some of its hadar, or hidur, that's associated with it. The Shulchan Aruch Praskins, like the Ritva, who says that it's not split rove, then you're fine. So generally, what we try to do is find it to be as closed as possible to the top. If it's not open to the rove, then it's still kasher. If it's already open to the rove all the way down to the spine, then you start running into some of the rishonim, if it's being a problem when it's open down to the spine. Almost all the lulavim that you can find are not open down to the spine. Almost all. I'm not saying all, but most of them are not. It's much harder to find them that are sealed towards the top, all the way to the top, which is the Mehudar, which is the one that the Ritva suggests, that even though the Lachon may not be that way, it's still beneficial and Mehudar to look for a lulav that is sealed to the top. To be careful about those two center leaves that they come up, both each one individually is not split, but also they're not split from each other all the way to the top of the lulav. Rav Yehuda said that you have to be negad. When it widens out, it fans out, you have to bind it back together. Tanya, Rav Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Tarfon, Kapot Timarim. Well, how do we know that the kapot tamarim is a lulav? Fot. So that means that you should bind it. Imaya parut, yikaftenu. If it's open, you just have to bind it. Amarle Ravina Lervashi, Mimai, the high kapot tamarim, the lulavavahu. How do you know that kapot tamarim is referring to the lulav? Ema charuta. Now, the charuta is the palm tree as well, but it's the top of the palm tree, once the leaves have come out of it, have hardened to a wooden substance already, they become woody. And so at the top, you have a charuta, which would be this wooden piece that sticks out. It says, "Beinan kafut vileka." The problem with that is, if you look at the top of the palm tree, and you have these woody pieces that come out of it, they can't be bound together, because they're solid. And if you try to bind them together, they're not going to bend, they're going to crack, because they're already solid wood. So that doesn't work, because you can't. Hayag kapot marim is lacking in kafut. That's lacking the ability to bind it, veleka, and you don't have that. So Ma'aseh says, okay, ve'ema ufta. So why don't we say that it's the ufta? Ufta is the stalk itself. If you look at the branches of the palm, the bottom of the lulav, where you sever the lulav is from a point where the leaves start, and they would spread out if they opened up. You think about an open palm tree branch, that's where the leaves start to start from, that's usually where the lulav is cut. Below that, there's a green piece, a stalk, that comes out of the palm tree that's solid green. So that's what Gemara says, why don't you use that? The ufta, that could be the lulav. There's nothing better than that. It's bound tight. There's nothing can separate from it. It's solid. Gemara says, kafut michlal de'ika parud. Problem is, kafut is an indication that there is the possibility of it being unbound or spread. So the fact that you can't bind it is a problem, not because you need to bind it, but you have to have the possibility of binding it because there could be a problem. When you take that stalk, that green stalk piece, there is nothing to bind because it can never separate. There are no leaves along that line. So it has to be above that point. Vahai, vahakafut le'omei le'olam. That is always bound because there is no separating. There are no leaves on that piece. So Gemara says, ve'ema kufra. Why don't we say that it is the spike? So Rashi, as he describes over here, similar to what we discussed before, the wooden pieces of the leaves that come out, but it's earlier, in an earlier stage before they've hardened to wood where they're still green. So now you have at the top of the palm tree, you have these green shoots or spikes that are coming out. And you could take the whole thing, and then you could technically bind them together because they're still soft enough to be flexible, unlike the charuta, which was already wood. So it's a basic principle the Gemara brings up in a number of instances with regards to the mitzvot, especially here with regards to the arbat minim, that the Torah would not ask someone to do something that is dangerous, uncomfortable, injurious. They wouldn't ask you to do that. Here you have this spike, which is very sharp, and you're trying to grab onto something and hold something like this, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get poked by it. And therefore, we don't ask you to do such a thing. The Torah is not going to ask a person to engage in such an activity. Gemara brings this up in other contexts as well, with regards to darcheh, darcheh noam, even sometimes with the mita, the way that a person's put to death, that the Torah will pick the easiest or the most painless way for the person to die in the context of the mita that has to be brought. Where it says, darcheh darcheh noam, that the way of the Torah is a way of peace and serenity. And so therefore they're not going to ask you to pick up a spike in order to use for your lulav. Amar le rovo tosfa, the Ravino, ve'ema tarte kape ditmare. Question of this next statement is this a continuation of the previous statement, or is this a completely new question? So there's some that read it that it is, Vematarte kapi de tamre, the way Rashi reads it, which is, these are the dates that hang off of the palm tree. They have a branch that holds them or secures them to the palm tree. So these kape de tamre, they're like the spoons of the tamarim, are the branches that hold the tamarim. Separate from the lulav, or the leaves of the palm branch, these are the branches that secure the dates to the tree. So he says, why don't we just say that it's tarte kape de tamre? Why don't we say that it is two of the kape de tamre? These two things, then you put them together and then you'll be able to bind them. And they could be the kapot tamarim that we are looking for. Those are the tamarim, and they're the kapot, the things that hold the tamarim. So why don't we say that? That's one possibility. The other possibility he's asking is, why don't we take two lulavim? That could be, why don't you take two instead of one lulav? You're worried about this thing that you have to bind them. So just take two. You take two and you bind them together. Either two stalks, like we said before, and you just bind them together, and then you'll have something to bind, because they could separate. And kapot is plural. So you'll take two of them and you'll be fine. So that's the nature of the question, is whether we're introducing a new idea, which is the holding the dates, or we're going back to one of the old things we said before, just take two of them instead of one of them. So my says kapot ktiv. And really, not kapot, but kapat ktiviv. It's chaser. It's missing a vav, which indicate that it was in the singular form. Ve'ema kado. Okay, if that's the case, just take one of them. Say that the question here is tarte kape de tamre, then just take one of those branches that secures the dates, and that would be sufficient. So the Gemara says, no, lahau kaf karile. Because that isn't called kapot tamarim, that's called a kaf. So you have to balance between it being written chaser, so it implies singular, but the fact that it's pronounced kapot tells you that it has to be something that has a name that is in the plural sense, and not a kaf. When you're talking about the dates, so that which secures the dates, that's called a kaf. But kapot is a plural sense, and that means it's got to be something that was referred to as the kapot, and that is only the lulav. As Tosafot points out over here, that everybody here holds of aim limisoret. It's not the way that we read it, it's the way that it's written in the Torah. Everybody agrees with that, and he says you have to explain why. Before we've had machloket about whether aim lemesoret, aim lemikra. Here everybody resigns and says aim lemesoret, and that's the way we paskin. That's how we find out that it's a lulav and kapot tamarim. So Tosfot says you have to explain why. Tosfot here in Psachim and other places spends time on trying to reconcile these issues of aim lemesoret, aim lemikra, and how the most people hold of both opinions. They all agree that both exist. The question is only when they contradict each other. When the aim lemikra and the aim lemesoret run into a contradiction, what do you do with that contradiction? All right. Now the Gemara continues. Sinei harabarzel kshera. The Mishnah said that these types of palm trees are kasher. It's only good. These sinei harabarzel are only good if the leaves, which are very short on this lulav, the leaf below the top of that leaf reaches the base of the next leaf. So there's no gapping between the leaves where the spine would be there without any leaf on it. The leaves touch each other as they go up the spine. If you don't have that, then it would be pasul. Tanya Nami Ochi, we have a brayta that supports that understanding of Abaye, which is Sinei Harabarzel Psula. Now Gemara says, Vanan Tanan Kshera. Doesn't our mission say that they're fine? Elishma Mino, Ki Abaye Shma Mino. Must be that there's a distinction in Sinei Harabarzel along the lines of what Abaye says, which is, there are certain Sinei Harabarzel which are okay, and certain Sinei Harabarzel that are not okay. And because of that, you have to make a distinction. Abaye gives us that distinction, which will reconcile the Braita with the Mishnah. The Ika de Rami Le Mirma, there's some that present this as a question, as a stira between the Mishnah and the Braita. As opposed to us who presented the memra of Abaye, and then we said, oh, we have support for Abaye's reasoning. They went the other way around. They said, we have a question. We have a Braita and a Mishnah that are cholek one on the other. And now, what do I do with that stira? Abaye comes and solves that problem. So rather than being an independent statement, his statement is a reconciliation of the Braita and the Mishnah. That's what it means. Dika de Rami Le Mirma, it's not. Our Mishnah said, Sinei Harabarzel Kasher. Vatanya Psula, and some say that it's Pasul. Amar Abaye Lo Kasha, Kan She Rosh Hashoseh Magil Tzadik Rosh Hashoseh. Kan Shein Rosh Hashoseh Magil Tzadik Rosh Hashoseh. I can explain to you, the Mishnah is not going to get a case where the leaves do reach each other. And the Braita is talking about a case where the leaves do not reach each other, and that'll be the distinction between the two of them. Amar Rabbi Meryo, and Amar Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, Vamir Lo Tanei, Rabba Bar Mari Mishum Rabbi Yochanan Mitzakai Shtei Timarot Yesh Begei Ben Hinnom. There are two palm trees in the valley of Ben Hinnom, right outside of the Ir Atika in Yerushalayim. It's still there today. You can see Gei Ben Hinnom. Rashi says just outside of Yerushalayim. I mean, obviously Rashi knows this from the Navi that Gei Ben Hinnom is mentioned there, being right outside the Ir Atika, Ir David as well. Gei Ben Hinnom is there. Va'ula ashan mi benehem. Between those two palms, there's smoke that comes out of the ground. Bezeh shoshaninu tzinei harbarzel ksherot. Vizuhi pitcha shel gehinom. that these two Tzinei HaBarzelek Sherot, those are the Tzinei HaBarzel that we're talking about, and the smoke that's coming out from between them, that's the doorway to Gehinom. Right? That's why it's called Geh Ben Hinom, and the word Gehinom comes from here, which is that valley. Now, but Geh Ben Hinom is extremely deep ravine, steep, deep ravine. And Geh Ben Hinom might have been the name that was given to it, and then it's called Gehinom because of the nature of that ravine. That you, again, if you're coming to battle against the city, or you're trying to traverse the valley below, that it's a very dangerous spot. It's not an easy spot to traverse. That's why it might be known in Gehinom, because it was difficult. And then that became, right, so that became a synonymous with what we know today as Gehinom, the opposite of Gan Eden. Probably the correlation, or there's a something between them. It's also mentioned in the Navi and some of the Nevuot. Therefore, it has that negative connotation associated with it. Now, the Tzinei HaHar HaBarzel, there's some question amongst the Poskim what the problem is with the Tzinei HaHar HaBarzel. Why are they growing small leaves? Possibility is that they have stunted growth, and that's why they're growing these smaller leaves. So they really are palm trees. They're just stunted palm trees, or they're something mutant palm trees, right? A dwarf palm tree, whatever it is. Some say it's because of the smoke that's coming out between them that causes them the problem. Whatever the reason is, but they're just a normal palm tree, but there's something stunted in its growth. There are others who suggest that it's a completely different species. Now, obviously, that has implications about the species of lulav. Does lulav have to be the species of the palm tree? And it doesn't matter if it has these mutations in it, or are there possibilities of introducing other species? And that would depend on how you view what these Tzinei HaHar HaBarzel are. Right, next. Lulav sheish bo shlosha tfachim. The Mishnah says that lulav has to have three tfachim in it. The truth is that it needs four tfachim. We said that before. And from what we understood before, it needs four tefachim because you need tefach echad to be ocheiz, right? You have to hold it on for a tefach. And then you need three tefachim above that. Rashi over here gives a different reason, which is, ma'ashi yotzei l'mala min ha'eged hu ha'min ha'neya. The reason you need it to be four tefachim high is because the hadasim, the other minim, are three. And you have to shake the lulav. You have to do min ha'neya. You have to shake it. The only place you can shake it is above the point where they're bound with the other minim. When it's bound together with the other minim, it's secure, it's not going to shake. Only the part that exceeds the other minim is considered to be the minaneya. So others say, why did Rashi bring a different reason over here? Why isn't the other reason sufficient that you need something to hold on to? So that's why you have to love the fourth tefachim. Rashi over here brings the other reason. Question is, why didn't he bring the reason that he brought before about holding on to it, that you need the tefach to be machzik and then three tefachim for the other minim to be together with it? Why over here does he talk about the minaneya, the other aspect of the lulav? Shinim explained that the reason Rashi speaks about the nanua here is because you would possibly think that just one of the minim has to exceed the other minim. How do you know that it has to be the lulav that exceeds the other minim? Because they have three minim that you're binding together. How do you know which one is the most important and the one has to exceed? So Rashi explains over here that the lulav is the central one, not only because it's tallest when it's on the tree, but it's also because it's central to the Nanuim. And since it's central to Nanuim, that's why it has to be the one in the center and the one that is highest. Otherwise, you could have been done with any of the Minim, be the Machzik, and then all the other Minim are attached to it. Why is the Lulav the one in particular? It's because the Lulav is central to the aspect of Nanuim. And that's why Rashi brings another reason over here. That's one answer that's given. Another answer that's given over here is Sfat Emet suggests that the reason Rashi has a different reason over here is in case the other minim are more than three tefachim. So here it comes to teach you, even though you would think, then for the lulav, you just need the four tefachim because it's kedei le'achoz bo. That's not true. When you have the other minim that are greater than three tefachim, the lulav needs to exceed those minim by a tefach because of this issue of naneya and this issue of lulav being the primary min because it grows the tallest on the trees. So need that extra tefach on the lulav to get it to shake. All right, so now the Gemara says, what is this calculation of three tefachim? I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mashmuel. Shira das varava shlosha. The shira of the hadas and the arava, the two other of the minim, the myrtle and the willow, have to be at least three tefachim high. Velulav arava. And the lulav has to be four tefachim. Kedei, she lulav yotzei min hadas tefach. So that exceeds the hadas by a tefach. Rabbi Parnach, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Shidrosho shulav tzarich she'eb min hadas tefach. This is what we discussed before, that the spine has to exceed the hadas by a tefach, not just the leaves. Tznan. Ulav sheish bo gimel tefachim kedei la'neya bo kasher. Our mission says that ulav, that's three tefachim, that has enough to shake with it, is okay. So that sounds like you only need three tefachim. What are you talking about four tefachim over here? Ema ukedei la'neya bo. In order to be menaneya kasher. That's kasher. Market the itlay, or market the itlay. Each one according to their own shita. For Shmuel, that'll be a tefach with the leaves. And for Rabbi Yochanan, that'll be a tefach with the shidra. So before, when we saw Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel, he says that the lulav has to exceed the hadasim nerava. There it sounds like even the leaves are sufficient. So then he only needs a tefach above them, no matter what it constitutes that tefach of the lulav. On the other hand, Rabbi Farnach, Rabbi Yochanan says that the shidra has to exceed by a tefach. So gedei laneya bo means three tefachim plus the extra to be naneya. That extra naneya will be either a tefach of shidra according to Rabbi Yochanan or a tefach of leaves according to Shmuel. And again, I said to you before that Tosafot and then the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rabbi Yochanan over here, that it has to be a tefach of the shidra that exceeds the other minim. I mean, you have to have a minimum of four tefachim of shidra in the lulav. Tashma, shira das varavash loshav lulav arba'ah. My lav, bahadei alim. Sounds like it's with the leaves. No, levad mealim, no, not including the leaves, and therefore that doesn't contradict Rabbi Yochanan's position. Now, what is the size of this lulav? Gufa, shira das varavash loshav lulav arba'ah. Now we have a statement for Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon Amar, parama bat chamishat tefachim. We're talking about an amah that's made up of five tefachim. So now we have something that's not understandable over here. Amarova, shorle mare le Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon should be forgiven. Hashta avot shlosha lo mashkechinan. Here when we try to look for three tefachai hadasim that are three around and they have the qualities that we're going to see at the end of today's daf for the hadas lo mashkechinan, we're having trouble finding those. Bat chamisha mibayi. We're going to need a five tefachai one. So the way Rava understood Rabbi Tarfon is that he didn't think it was three tefachim, he thought it was five tefachim. He's saying you need like an amah worth, which is the equivalent of five tefachim. So he's saying the minimum shear of three tefachim, you're nah, five tefachim. Rava's saying we have enough trouble getting to the three tefach height, how are you going to ask us to get a five tefach high? So he says, please forgive Rabbi Tarfon for saying that, because there's just no way we can do, we can't keep that type of mitzvah. Because we're going to see then later have in today's daf, that the seem have particular requirements that are hard to meet. And so he's saying, at three tefachim, we're having trouble meeting those requirements. You're going to ask me for a five tefachai one? There's just no way we can get to those requirements. So now Rava obviously misunderstood Rabbi Tarfon, because we're going to see in a second that there are other interpretations of Rabbi Tarfon, and it came from Eretz Yisrael, because Kiyat Rav Dimi, he explains him, and then later on we're going to have Kiyat Ravin. And they both have the same memra, just backwards. So you know that they both heard the same thing. One of them mixed it up. We're not sure who mixed it up, but one of them mixed it up, which is, Kiata Rav Dimi, Amar, Ama bat shisha tefachim, aseh oto bat chamisha. Take a six tefach Ama, and then break it down into five parts. Assuming that a standard Ama is made up of six tefachim. So now instead of dividing into six, subdivide it into five, which means that each tefach will be equivalent to 1 1/5, 1.2 for each tefach. So even though normally a tefach means a tefach of six, we want you to take extra big tefachim, so they're going to be the equivalent of 1.2 of normal tefachim. So tzeimem shlosha la'adas, so you're going to take out three for the adas, vashar lululav, and the remainder will be for the lulav. Kama havaluhu, how much will that be? Tzlata utlat chumshe. So when you're talking about the three tefachim over here, you're talking about 3 3/5, because, right, it's 1.2 times 3, 1 1/5 times 3. So you end up with 3 3/5 for the shloshat tefachim that we are looking for. Vashar lulav is a good question. The remainder for the lulav is the way Rashi reads it, or where you'd normally read it, is that even another 1 1/5 for the lulav on top of that. That'll get you to your 5 tefachim. Whereas those that read it, vashar lulav means you get a regular tefach for the lulav. So even though you acquire bigger tefachim for the base, 3 3/5, the last tefach can be a regular junior tefach, a 6 tefach amah. So now Gemara says, Kasha de Shmuel de Shmuel. This causes a problem for us within Shmuel. His explanation. Hacha amar Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel. Just before we saw Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel says, Shira das v'ravah shlosha. They told us that the shira of these minim is three tefachim. Ve'hatam amar Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel. Loch Rabbi Tarfon. He also paskins like Rabbi Tarfon. Now, the way we're explaining Rabbi Tarfon means 3 3/5 tefachim. Shmuel is saying that you need 3 tefachim. Gemara says, Lodak. He was just giving a rounded number. He rounded it off to 3. So Gemara says, Imer darmin lo dak l'chumra. You can round up. L'kula mi aminin lo dak. In that case, you're going to say he wasn't exact. He was estimating. That doesn't make sense. Who rounds down? If the minimum shear is 3 3/5, and you round down to 3, you're going to end up with a non-kosher shear for the minim. You can't round down. It's one thing if you round up to 4. It's another thing if you round down to 3. You can't do that. Now, kiyata Ravin amar. Now we have the member coming from Ravin, which said, Ama bat chamisha tefachim aseh oto shisha. The other way around. Take an amah that's made up of 5 tefachim and now break it down into six parts, which means that we're going to use the junior tefachim, which is that each tefach is really 5/6 of a tefach. Same in shlosha l'adas, v'shad l'ulav. Take out three for the adas, and then the remainder of the lulav. Akam ha'abiluhu, how much is that? Trei upalga, 2.5. Because if you take 5/6 times 3, that's 15/6. 15/6 is 2 and 3/6, which is 2.5. So that'll be 2.5 tefachim high. So Gemara says, sof sof, kasha d'shmuel d'shmuel. In the end, that's a problem for Shmuel, because Shmuel said before you need 3 tefachim, and over here he's saying that you need 2.5 tefachim, and he paskins like Rabbi Tarfon, who says 2.5 tefachim. The Gemara says, lo dak, he was estimating. V'hainu l'chumro lo dak, and over here it's good, he's rounding up, because it's 2.5 tefachim. He said, alright, just make it 3. So there, if you get 3, you clearly have 2.5, and you're fine. Because the halacha is like Rabbi Tarfon, so Rabbi Tarfon is saying it's 2.5 tefachim, and then he rounds it up to 3, and that'll be fine. The halacha, the Shulchan Aruch, brings down 3 different opinions as to what the size of the lulav has to be. He expresses it in etzba'ot, so that it becomes an equivalent standard. One is based on the possibility that's 2.5 tefachim plus another tefach, which would be 3.5 tefachim, or the possibility even 2.5 plus 5/6, and it'll be 3 1/3. And then there's the last possibility, which is the Rambam and the Rif, who just mentioned 3 and 4 tefachim without any qualification, which makes it sound like 3 and 4 tefachim benuniim are the measurements of the minim, the 3 tefachim for the das and the arava, and the 4 tefachim for the lulav, just regular tefachim. So he brings down all these 3 opinions, that possibilities of how high the lulav has to be. In the end, he says, should be machmir for the most stringent opinions, which would be normal tefachim, which is 3, 4, that were mentioned by Shmuel before. So based on that, we just machmir for that opinion that it should be the largest of those sizes. Today, generally, all the lulavim are of that size, of that height. The shidra is more than 4 fachim high. Adas, agazul, ve'yavesh, pasul. The adas that is stolen and dried out is pasul. Now, the Mishnah is going to repeat things that are found in the first Mishnah. It's going through each of the minim. The question you could ask is, in the items that they are common or have a common ground, why didn't the Mishnah combine them? And in areas where they're different, then it could have specified the differences. My sense is that it has to do with the memorization and doing it baal-peh. When you're doing it baal-peh, if you have a list that has the commonalities between them and then the differences, it's just easier to remember going through each of them instead of breaking up the mission, saying, oh, all the minim have this, and then breaking each one out. Here you have a list by each one of the minim, and you have the common ground between them, and then the differences between them might have been easier to memorize, to remember a baal-peh. So here you have the hadas, the myrtle, is stolen or yavesh is pasul for the same reason that it's problematic by the ludav. Shela shirav shel yinidachat pasul, same reason as we have by the ludav. Niktam rosho. Here, niktam rosho is unclear what this is. By the ludav, we already had some questions about niktam rosho, but most of you that means that the top was nipped. The top of the leaves were nipped off, and that was the problem of niktam rosho. Over here by the hadas, it's much harder to understand what niktam rosho means because the top of adas is not a leaf. The top of adas, the adas is a branch that has leaves coming off of it. So niktam rosho, some of the Rishonim mean that the top of the branch, the peak of the branch is clipped off. Like similar to what you have by the gulab, instead of being the leaf, it's the actual branch itself at the top is cut off. Others say niktam rosho means the leaves at the top have their tops of the leaves picked off. Whether it has to be the row of the leaves or only the leaves at the top, that could be the problem. Nifritzu alav. Here again, you have an issue with nifritzu alav because before, the way that Rashi explained it is that by the lulav, nifritzu alav was that they were all severed from the spine and then bound back together. By a hadas, by a myrtle, that's not a real possibility. Because you take off all the leaves and try to bind them together, you're not going to be very successful at doing that. It doesn't make a lot of sense. The way Tosfot said it was that the leaves themselves were split. Over here by the hadas, you could explain that they're vertically split, that there's a cut in the leaves. Each leaf is split in some way. So here you'd have to give some alternative explanation because it just doesn't match what we have by the tulav, kichufya. Kichufya here by the hadas is not as practical as we're talking about it with the tulav. Oshayu anavav mirubot mi'alav. Or if its berries are greater than the number of leaves on it. So only if the berries exceed the leaves is it problematic. To have berries on it is not problematic. So only when they exceed it is it pasul. V'mi atan. If you reduce them, kasher, then it's okay. So even if you had more berries before, if you pick off the berries and get it to below the number of leaves, or they take up less space than the leaves, it's fine. V'mi atan b'yom tov. You're not allowed to do this reduction on yom tov. The Gemara will tell us in tomorrow's daf that that's because of metakin mano, because you're making now the object usable on yom tov, which is a problem of metakin mano. Fixing a kli to be usable on Yom Tov. The Gemara will then discuss the problem of a pasuk reshe, which is a major sugya throughout Shas, that's on the latter half of tomorrow's daf. Tana Baranan, anaf eitz avot. So here's the definition of hadas. We said before that hadas has a lot of requirements. Here are the requirements of the hadas, which is shanafav chufim et eitzo. Its leaves need to cover its branch. So the leaves have to cover the majority of the branches in which they sit on. Vezezehu, haviomer ze hadas. Which type or species has this? That's the hadas. The myrtle is the one that does it. Where it says vemazeta. What about the olive tree? The olive branches also have a ton of leaves on them when you pull out an olive branch, and they have the same thing. Where it says, be'inan avot v'leka. We need avot, and we don't have that. Now, avot has, in Rashi, has two meanings. One is that it's klia, that it is braided, and the other one is that sharsheret, that it is like a chain or a link. And it seems from the Gemara, we're going to see that you need both of those, that both of those requirements are necessary here. One is that they are a chain, which means that the leaves touch each other. All the leaves that sit on the branch, they reach the ones above it. The additional one is that avot, that they have to be braided, which means that they sit around the branch together, that they are in clusters around the branch. We're going to see all of this in the Gemara in 1 second. Vema dulva. So why don't we suggest that we use a dulva instead? Rashi calls it the eitz armon, kastnir. He says it's kaluahu. It is kalua, it is braided where the leaves come around, but it doesn't have the shorsheret aspect, which is that they don't cover the rove of the branch. It says, we need the leaves to cover the branch, and that doesn't have it. It says, let's use the hirduf, which Rashi tells us is kamin kliyasu in alav. It has the leaves around it, so it does have the leaves coming around it, but again, it seems that it covers the majority of the stalk. I saw a translation of an oleander. Rashi claims that it is a poisonous plant. Since it's poisonous, the Torah wouldn't ask you to take something that is poisonous because of the puzzle that we quoted before, which is darche darche noam.
That might be the
Right, so Rashi claims it's similar to the hardufni, which is this poison. Because he equates the two here. This hirduf and ardufni, Rashi is clearly comparing them because the Gemara in other places says that ardufni is poisonous for animals to eat. That's what Rashi is equating over here and saying that problem is darcher darcher noam. Tosafot says it can't be because by maror it says one of the things they can use for maror is hardufni. So that a person can be yotzei yedei chavatov pesach. The hirduf, pasul. On the other hand, and hirduf over there, they don't allow because it's a min zera, because it's a type of seed and it's not a vegetable. So you see that the Gemara separates between hirduf and ardufni. And therefore, Tosafot disagrees with Rashi and says the problem here is not poison, but rather that the hirduf, its leaves are very sharp. The ends of the leaves are very pointy and sharp and prickly. And that's why it's a problem of darche darche noam, because if you hold it in your hand again, you're going to get pricked. And that's why we don't ask you to use it. Rava mar mihoch. Rava says from here, ha'emet v'shalom ehavu. You should love truth and peace. Rashi over here says, well, this isn't truth and peace because it's made to kill. And therefore it's not emet v'shalom. That's why Rashi reads it. Tosafot seems to them to be indifferent. Rova is just using another pasuk to tell you the same thing. Why on the beginning of today's daf? We also said by the lulav, the spike, you can't use the spike because it's injurious. So there, why didn't we quote Rova? Tosafot says Rova just wasn't there. When they were doing that memoir, when they were discussing that issue, Rava wasn't there, so don't mention his pasuk. But it would be equally applicable over there. Tosu sees them as completely synonymous over here. The two reasons, just bringing it from a different pasuk, there's no nafkamina between them. Right, Tana Banan, kalua, kamin, kliya. It has to be like this braid, or this plating, braiding or plating. And similar to a chain. Vizeh hu hadas. That is the hadas. Again, I said to you, it has to be, first of all, the leaves covering the branch itself, and the leaves touch each other. They cover each other, so they cover the entirety of the branch. And on top of that, they have to be plated, which is that they surround the branch completely. So it's not only that they cover it vertically, they also cover it on its circumference, because they're around it. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, anaf eitz avot. So what do we learn now from anaf eitz avot? Eitz, shetam eitzo upiryo shavet. It's a case where the branch and the fruit are equal. Rabbi Omer, ze adas. That is hadas. There is some controversy about the girsa over here because that is said by the etrog. That is a limud by the etrog that the tam of the eitz is similar to the fruit is by the etrog. By the dasim, we don't really have fruit. They have berries on them, but they're not berries that are eaten. So to say that tam eitzo kipirio doesn't make so much sense by the myrtle. And therefore, there are others that suggest that the girsa over here is not tam eitzo upirio shaveh, but rather The drush is, anaf it's a vote, is a case sha'avot mechapim et etzo. That the leaves cover the branch itself. That this was a misquote of the drusha from Etrog brought over to Hadas. But Rabbi Elazar was really saying, which is the drusha that we saw before, which is anav chufim et etzo. That the leaves cover the branch. Tana, it's a vote kasher, she'en avot pasul. If they are a vote, then they are kasher. If they're not a vote, they're pasul. Hechidami avot. What is this avot? We keep talking about these avot. That they are mikamin kliya, they're braided, they're plated. What does that mean? Rabbi Yehuda, avot, dekami klata klate tarfe bikino. That is that you have three leaves in a single nest. A single nest means on a single bud. The way Rashi describes a single bud at every level of the hadas, three leaves protrude from that bud. It is at that level. Tosafot says there's just no way. We can't find any hadasim that look like that. So the meaning can't be here that they come out of a single bud, but rather that there are three leaves at the same level. But kinyat doesn't mean they literally come out of the same bud, but there are three leaves that are at the same level. They come out independently around it, but they are at the same level. Gad amar afilu trei v'chad. Even if you have two together and then one that is a little below it, Rashi says. There are two at one level, and then one little below it that touches the, or covers the other two. Vacha brei derova mahadar atrei v'chad. Vacha brei derova used to try to find a hadas like that. Hove enough of me pumei derov kana, because v'kana said it was kasher. So in order to remember that halacha and to show that he thought it was good l'chadchila, he kept the halacha of Rav Kana. And obviously he agreed, if there were three together, it was good or even better. But he just wanted to show that the halacha was like Rav Kana, who said that even this was good as a hadas. Amalei mar baramemer lervashi abo lau hadas shutek arile. Says, listen, wait a minute. That's not really called hadas. That's called a wild hadas. Crazy hadas. It doesn't have three in a row. It has two and then one off to the side. What he's saying here is that it's not a hadas, but rather hadas shutek. That we saw earlier in the Masechta with regards to the Pasuk in Nehemiah, which mentioned both hadas and the Eitz Avot. So the Gemara wanted to know, what's the difference between hadas and Eitz Avot? So there the Gemara said, there's hadash shoteh, and then regular hadasim. The regular hadasim or the eitz avot are for the lulav, and the hadash shoteh is for the sukkah, the schach for the sukkah. But we see over there that this hadash shoteh is not kosher for the lulav, because it has a shem levi. It's not called hadas, it's called hadas shoteh. And because of that, it's pasul. Tan Rabbanan, nashru rov alav, v'nishtaru bo miyut kosher. If the majority of its leaves fell off, and there's a minority left, it's kosher. As long as the plating is still intact. It says, how can you explain this? That's inherently contradictory. If most of the leaves are gone, it's fine. And you still want it to be plated or covered. If on each level the majority fell off, you have three leaves, two of them are gone, tell me how you're going to have the pliya. Number one, you're not going to have the rove of the circumference covered, and you're not going to have the rove of the eights covered. You can find it in this species of the hadas. Rashi brings two interpretations as to what asa mitzra is. One is that it's gadala la mitzar. It grows on the borders. And since it's uninhibited, it grows wild and great, and therefore it has multiple leaves at each level. The other possibility is that Asa Mitzra is Asa Mitzrayi, which is from Mitzrayim, Egyptian myrtle. The Kaime Shiva Shiva, the Chad Kino. That's seven at each level. There's seven leaves around each level. Therefore, Techeniatre Arba'a, when four of them fall away, Pasha Lotata, you have three left. So you get to your minimum that you need because the three that are left. So therefore, you can have the robe fall away and still have a vote because you'll have the three that remain afterwards, the braiding, the plating that is there. Afterwards, and again, shel shelet, it has to be a chain, it has to be linked together, it might also be shalosh, shel shelet, shor sheret, so it also have to be in threes, so that you'll be accomplished in this case. Amar Abayi, Shmamina, hai asa mitzra kasher lehoshana. From this, you would assume, based on the fact that this is the explanation of the Braita, that means that hadas mitzra'e, or mitzar, is kasher. Pshita, the Gemara says, why not? Ma'odei mahova itle shem levai. Because it's not called a hadas, it's called hadas mitzra. So therefore, since it has a qualifying piece to its name, maybe that won't qualify as hadas. Lo mit kasher, therefore it won't be kasher. Kamash malon, that it is kasher. Bema ochanami. Wait, let's say that you're right, that it does have a shem levi, it's not called hadas. But it says, eitz avot amar rachmano mikol makom. The Torah says eitz avot, and eitz avot means no matter what. Now, what the answer of the Gemara is over here, that it means, oh, it says eitz avot, it makes it sound like that the Torah never requires hadas, it requires eitz avot. So the word hadas is never mentioned in the Torah. So now you're going to come and tell me that it's a hadas meitzar versus a hadas or hadas, mitzvah versus hadas, hadas is not the requirement of the Torah. The requirement of the Torah is enough, it's a vote. And these votes qualify as enough, it's a vote. So it doesn't matter whether it's hadas or hadas, mitzvah. Tosfot says, Tema, my sakadat la mifsale mishum shem levai, mide hadas k'tiv bikra, the word hadas is not written in the pasuk. Ha feel here doof makshirinan. Before, the Gemara was willing to make here doof into hadas, even though it doesn't have the word hadas in it, because the only reason we said no is because either it's poison or it's prickly, but otherwise we would have used that as I afetz avot. So ilam mishum dechtiv darcher darchein one, we would have used that. So Tosfot says, I don't understand the avamin of the Gemara here, that this should be problematic at all, that it has a shem levai. But what you have to suggest is the fact that we interpret anaf eitz avot to be hadas, it's equivalent as if hadas is written in the pasuk, and therefore you would have a problem if it is as a shem levai. So Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, yabshu rov alav. The majority of the leaves dry out. V'nisharu bo shlosha badei alim lachim. If there are three moist ones left, kasher. Ram Rav Chisda barosh kol echad v'echad on the top of each one of them. Now here there's a big machloket. Rashi says here, that we're talking about the three hadasim that you have to take. The three hadasim that you have to take, he says here, if yavshu rov alav, if the majority of the leaves have dried out on these myrtle, v'nisharu bo shlosha badei alim lachim, as long as you have three left that have moist leaves on them, they're kasher. And then Rav Chisda says it means at the top, the leaves at the top. So now, in this case, what Rashi is suggesting is that you had more than three, which is permitted. You're allowed to have more than three myrtle branches. There's no problem with adding three is the minimum that you can have, but you can have more than that. Rashi is suggesting is that you have numerous myrtles, and they dried out. As long as you have three that are left, three myrtle branches that are left that have moist leaves on them, and those moist leaves have to be at the top of the myrtle branches, then you're fine. And we speak about this a lot. Niktam Rosho, Yavshu Alav, all the things have to be at the top of the myrtle, that's the most important place. You can't have the top picked off, you can't have the leaves picked off, they have to be fresh, the leaves at the top, the moisture has to be at the top there. All these requirements are at the top of the Hadas. And that's what Rashi says is happening over here. There are others that disagree with Rashi. What do you mean there are three here? Who said you started out with more, that all of a sudden you have only three left? So they say no. What's mentioned over here, the three, is talking about on a single myrtle. On a single myrtle, it says, Yapshu rov alav, of one branch of the myrtle, dem nisharbo shloshe badei alim lachim. As long as you have three badim, badim are those nests. As long as you have three levels, or three nests of moist leaves, then you're fine. And that's how they do it, shloshe badei alim, and amar rav chisda barosh kol echad v'echad. It has to be at the top. I mean, the tips of the leaves have to be moist, not just the base of the leaves, but the tips of the leaves. Those are the two possible interpretations here of what the hadasim, the tops of the hadasim have to be moist. Again, aloha, we require both. We require three myrtles, and the three myrtles have to be moist, especially at the top. They have to have the top of the myrtles. When you check them, those leaves should be whole, should not be picked off at all, and they should be green and moist at the top of the hadasim. Okay, we'll stop over here.